Blog Talk Radio.
Rights to that song, but we want to make sure we can play some nice music for you. It's awesome. It's wonderful Wednesday, hump day that we have before you again. We're very excited about having the opportunity to come before you then. I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith of Talking Sports Plus, and the call-in number for Talking Sports Plus is 347-857-4192. So we're very excited to have three other individuals tonight, my co-hosts with me tonight. One of them said they was not feeling well, so they said they'll be listening, but they won't be able to join in. All right, we're going to get to all our introductions here, but I want to make sure you have an opportunity to listen to the show. You can go to the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. Simple. Make sure you do it. Make sure you join us by web link or call in. Now, if you decide to call in, again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, those were the early introductions. Let me just introduce an outstanding team. I'm so proud to have an opportunity to work with these guys. These guys are just the backbone and right arm, left arm, whatever you want to call it. I'm so proud to have an opportunity. I'm going to start off with That young man is down in South Alabama, as far as south as you want to go, and that's our E-Train. He's our man. He's the coach of the airwaves, and that's what I want you to recognize him as, Coach Darrell E-Train Elliott.
I'm so proud to be here tonight. Thank you so much, Dr. Smith. Let's get down to talking sports. Ready to roll.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you. I know everybody else is glad to have you here, the coach of the airwaves. All right, this is a special individual. And, you know, he's not as far south, but he's a special man because he has this phrase that he always brings to us. Don't let the day take you. Take the day. Always take the day. Don't let the day take you. And it is Coach Tony Stallworth.
Hey. I'm glad I'm back. I heard a whole lot been going on, but you know what?
is going to go a little further because the T-Worth is back tonight. Good to see you, my brother. My brother, my brother.
All right. Touchdown, Tony Stallworth. Ain't that what you call him there? Touchdown, Tony Stallworth. All right. You sound like the right person. We're glad to have you back, Tony. And it's feeling good to have part of the team. We won't be in full force, but we'll go over it. We'll be short of one, which is our millennium. But we have the man from the North. I said coach from the North. He has that slogan. He tell everybody, it ain't fun when the rabbit got the gun. Coach Tremaine Edwards.
Hey, glad to be here tonight. Glad to be here tonight. Ready to talk these topics, man. Start with them Hornets, man. I'm ready. Ready.
Awesome, awesome. Always to have Trey. Good to have Trey on here. And good to have the other co-hosts as well. And we will be at full staff, but, you know, I know by other member, Coach Laura D. Smith, the young lady of the millennium, is not here tonight, but she's listening. So we want to make sure if she has something to say, she may just call in or even email me and leave her thoughts by email and I'll share. Since I said something about leaving your thoughts by email, you can email us at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Or either you can go to Twitter. You can tweet me. You can tweet me at Lorenzo D. Smith. So we are very excited about having an opportunity. We got some topics, and we're going to run with those topics. But I just wanted to say one thing before we get started. You know, what makes us so different is that we just don't focus on what our partners and talking heads are talking about. We get into a little in-depth into some areas that have been forgotten among our radio world, and that is historical black colleges, universities, high schools, and middle schools in the southeastern part of the United States. We look at their athletics. So you can share some thoughts about that, whether it's the MEAC, the SWAC, or the CIAA, or the SIAC. All right, let's get started, Ping. Y'all ready? Let's make it happen. We're going to start off discussing the results, the thoughts of ASU spring black and gold game. It was seen on television, and I'll let everybody know that it was historically done because it was the first time a historical black college has been televised. Their spring game has been televised. So that's positive through Amazon Fire. So that happened this past Saturday on the 28th. All right, let's talk a little bit about it. I'm going to start with Coach Edwards. You can kind of share your thoughts about it because you're ready to go with it. Coach Edwards, let's talk about it because I know you had a chance to kind of see a little bit of it.
Yes, sir, Dr. Smith. I saw a little bit of it, man. From what I can see, man, y'all got a quarterback, man. That boy slinging the ball. You did a lot of position changes. I don't know if the new coach coming in did that or whatnot. Two former quarterbacks have moved to defensive back. So I'm up here jotting down, taking my notes. So when that last month in October, that last weekend in October, I can have my team ready to face the Hornets. But I was impressed.
Hey,
man. They look real good, man.
Are you scouting or are you being an analyst tonight?
Mr. Worth, I'm going to say this. I see y'all did some recruiting and getting that quarterback over there because, as you know, he is from Tuskegee University. So somebody doing some recruiting. I'm going to say that.
Well, I can say this right here. The interstate goes north and south. He just happened to go come south.
Yes, sir. Yes,
but
sir. Awesome.
But that's all I got to say on the black and gold game. But that quarterback, I think his last name is Rocker.
Rocker.
He looks real good, though. That's all I got for y'all.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
What I've gathered from the ASU script, a game I was unable to actually visualize it, but from some of my sources, I agree with Coach Tremaine that the quarterback is athletic. And here's what you got to look at. You got student athletes are buying into the coach going forward and making those adjustments in positions without questioning. That's a sign of continuity. Don't have the overall numbers and size don't seem to be up to par, but a strong mind and strong commitment sometimes can get you a couple of W's. If not, it can make you compete. So I think Alabama State University, with the appointment of Coach Ely going forward and with the kids buying into and the proud tradition of having an opportunity to be HBCU on television on spring game is a positive move.
Great. You know, Coach, that's awesome. Awesome. Yes.
You know, Coach, I can be the first to tell you King T, a.k.a. Coach Trey, and Coach Tony Starward both have the best points in this. But it is an enlightenment, a beautiful thing to see Alabama State University on the move this early. Somebody is – I think it's just time. It's time for ASU to shine. You know, it's time for that athletic – that whole athletic department over there to have some good mojo. And I see it, and I'm hoping that what I see builds and becomes the greatest in this upcoming year. That's what I have to say.
I think the biggest challenge the ASU is going to have, Dr. Smith, is having home games at home. What you don't want to do is dig yourself in a well with the full game and then have to travel and expect support, because that's where things get a little bit lingering. So we got to make sure that we bear in mind that, and it's like Darryl said, it's about time. We don't want every year to be a rebuilding year, but I think this year could be a progressive year if everybody buy into the fact that we are moving forward. The president over there at Alabama State University, I've had several sit-downs with him, and I observe him. And he's a multitask guy, and he understands the necessitation of progression in athletics. He understands that athletics is the locomotive behind the drawing force. And I think, and I said it before, leadership starts, begin, and leadership can fail programs. So I think everything is, as Coach Darryl said, is headed forward early for a change without us having to doubt.
You know, and Coach Starve, as well as each and every one of y'all, are saying it's a real positive thing. One of the key things I took, and y'all can go back to my thought as we was talking in the fall of last year, when they made the change, I said that one of the key things about Coach Ely was he has 12 years of head coaching experience. So in 12 years, he has led teams and even had an opportunity to win the MEAC once or twice. But he understands it more so. And I don't want to compare him to a particular coach, but I only can have one example that's closer relate to him. Coach Reggie Ballo, I feel like he did an outstanding job at Alabama State, but he had no head coaching experience. He had none whatsoever. So having somebody, as I stated earlier, when he was auditioning for it, you know, the fall out, I was talking, the audition was going on then. He showed that he could put it together. Now, I went to the game, and I sit up and watch the game, and I saw some things real positive. Now, the defense flying all over the place. But one of the key things I saw on offense, they was able to throw the long ball and catch the long ball. They was connecting on the long ball. Unfortunate, if you saw it on Amazon Fire, they get a plug from us, and that's why we need your support, Amazon Fire. But they had a hole in them. Had a couple hole in them. But you know what? You know, it's holding every down, and every one of the experts on here can agree with me. It's just not called all the time. It was called in the spring so that they could clean it up so when they get ready to fall. I was so excited to see that long ball thrown and caught. People was over. The ball was thrown well to the tight end. Because we're recapping it. The tight end was open several times. Several times they missed him. But he was open. The big rangy kid approached like about 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", probably about 260, 270. And he was open. They hit him a couple of times. And I saw some real positive things. So people, most of the individuals I talked with locally, they was very excited to see what they saw progress. And that's what we're talking about, progress. Progress was made historically by filming that and broadcasting that. Go ahead, Uncle.
Dr. Smith, be careful now. We got a scout on there, so you don't give too much information.
But I imagine Coach Trey saw it on TV, so they already feel that. So everybody got that feel. But you know,
hey, I know what you got. I know what you got now. I know where they come from too.
and what's so bad about it, I watched the game, and I kept hearing the name, but I just didn't relate because it's spring. The trainer telling me this is a transfer from Tuskegee. I didn't know the quarterback number 12. Number 12 was a transfer, but I can tell you, he looked better than number 15. He throws the ball really well. He throws it well. He understands that offense. So they may have – sometimes it's always good to have two quarterbacks. Not always one, have two quarterbacks. So the thing about it, that's a future. And running back, I don't know, I'm going to say something else, and we're going to move to something else. I looked at the running back. That Pritchett kid, I know that weighed about 175 pounds, and he had broken boots, you know, old army boots on. That wasn't like the cut, like he was up to 220. He at least 215 now. Whatever weight program they got going over there, that boy has juiced up. Now was number two. And then Anderson was the other running back. All both of those guys are juiced up, knotted up, look like they 210. I know Anderson was already 190. He like 220. And the other kid, 200 pounds for 175? Oh, what is
Dr.
going
Smith,
on there?
You talking too much, Dr. Smith. You talking too much now.
We're going to balance it out. We're going to talk about Tuskegee next week.
But, you know, I just want to say this. The bottom line is I want you to keep talking because King T, my good friend up in Huntsville, he also has a game plan. And I know that he can recruit. And he can recruit, my friend.
Exactly. That's awesome. All right, team. That was really exciting. I'm going to tell you, I attended, so I'll say go ASU, get ready for the fall. Go Alabama A&M, get ready for the fall. So we'll move forward on that. Now, let's look at what effects will the implementation of instant replay will have on Alabama high school football. Now, we talked a little bit about it last week, Coach Worth, but it was something that came out, and I know you have a little bit more knowledge about it. Your expertise is a lot greater than what we had on last week, and everybody would agree on that end. And we just want to talk about it and see from each one of our point of view how it would affect the game or improve the game and how it may be.
We get the Alabama High School Athletic Association get bombarded on numerous occasions about the lack of professional and consistent, now I'm going to use the word consistency in calls with our high school officials. We protect our high school officials to the utmost. But when we start looking at some of the replays, or should I say film footage that member school coaches send to us when they are contesting, I'm not going to use the word protest because we don't deal with that. We don't protest game. When it's over, it's over. Contesting some calls. And we always protect our officials by saying this. If it's a judgment call, it stands. If it's a misapplication of a rule, then it can be appealed. So then we start looking at the data of college games that we spend all day long and all morning watching officials going back and forth to the camera. So we look at ourselves and say, you know what? The only reason they're consistent is because they're consistent by Ken Ann's back and forth to that camera. So humanistically, anybody can miss a call because everybody may see it in live time a lot different because the game is so physical and so fast. So the implementation of instant replay gives our officials an opportunity to get it right. But here's the downside. Expense. Those schools in small socioeconomic areas that can barely keep the lights on to have a game, they not can afford to get on board. Time allotment. Games will be longer now. But I think it's a move forward to help the game. It's a move forward and give the officials something to go on. Now, be mindful. Coaches got to know the rules. You get two of them flagged, you throw them right quick, you're done. If a school team that's in a low socioeconomic environment that does not have instant replay in a school that can afford it can bring the instant replay to their stadium if both parties agree and they both can have access to it. But it has to be an agreement. So I think it's a move forward. I think high school football deserves an opportunity to be a game of fair play, and I think that will give it a step going forward. All right, it won't be mandatory, however, but it would be optional and be a feasible means of trying to assist the officials in making that call right. Because even with instant replay, somebody still going to disagree, regardless.
Coach, several states, including New Jersey, Minnesota, have used or plan to use replay in championships games. However, Alabama is believed to be is going to be the first state to have instant replay available at all high school games. But like Coach said, expense. I would like to see that. It clears up a lot of stuff. If you go to a high school football game, you hear a lot of people in the stands chilling the referees because, you have a lot of eyes on what just happened. But sometimes even your own eyes can play tricks on you. The camera does not lie. So I think, and then sometimes it's a critical call, and sometimes even the officials get it wrong, and when they do, and they make the call is made. You got what I'm saying. So to be able to overturn that by looking at a camera, I think is good because in critical games it can cost the team a game, and it wasn't even their fault; it was the official's fault. So I agree with that, and I hope. Yes, sir. I apologize. Go ahead, Coach.
And to add to what you're saying, Darryl, you made a very good point. The officials are going to pull the trigger quick because they know what. Either they're going to let my call stand or they're going to contest it. So if I got it wrong, I can get it right if they throw the flag. So it's two ways to look at it.
Exactly right.
They got to make the call. They got to make the call one way or the other. So if they figure, hey, you don't contest it, you went with it. You contest it, now you're helping both of us. Let's get it right.
Amen, brother.
Amen. All right.
I agree with it. Dr. Smith, we ain't got a test basis. Stalwart, this is one of the best moves I've seen y'all make as far as implementing this rule. I agree with it. I have nothing bad to say about that implementation.
And, what you want to do is you want to give fans and coaches an opportunity for all the hard work they put in. At least at the end of the day, they can say, you know what? We got beat, and they got it right. Or we won, and we won it right. One or the other. It's going to be one or the other now. But somebody's going to win, and somebody's going to either lose. But let's do it right.
And Coach Worth, as well as all the Coach Darryl, as well as Coach Tremaine, that's what it's all about, making it fair. We never want to get anybody any kind of advantage that's going to take away from the joy of playing the sport. So we applaud the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Executive Director Steve Savarese, and Executive Director Coach Tony Stallworth. We're so proud of being associated with you. I'm going to let you know now. We're going to pat you on your back, give you flowers now. And doing things that's innovative to leave a legacy on, and that's what it's all about. And I think it really could be overdue. And I know these schools may not have the expense, might not have the money in their budget, but it'll be something good to have because I know as a head high school football coach, as a middle school head football coach, as a head basketball coach, having certain things that's going to be innovative, going to help us move the game forward. I know it's going to take a little longer, but it can be moved forward because when you have a call that get everybody upset and you can't look at it to review, then that makes the situation worse because they're going to talk about it and they're going to call the high school association. That ain't the way they do it. They don't have it like that, but that's not saying people won't call. You know what I'm saying? People will do that because they have that right. So we applaud the high school, Alabama High School Athletic Association for being very innovative. Before we move forward, I want to make sure I give the call in number. That's 347-857-4192. Just press 1 if you want to be a part of this conversation, and we'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. And then when you come on, We want to ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right. I know we have an agenda here, but I want to get to something that that's been coming and popping in the news recently. And the pundits and the talking heads been talking about it. But we're experts, and our experts can share some thoughts on this. There was a statement made on NBA halftime show from Charles Barkley, and there's been a lot of talk, and I want us to discuss it. And it was somehow disseminated out that Charles Barkley said that Draymond needed to be punched in the face. And
now, let's back up. Charles Barkley said he wanted to punch him in the face.
Okay. All right. Charles Barkley said he wanted to punch him in the face. I was trying to make it sound real nice, but he said he wanted to punch him in the face. Draymond was asked that, so we don't think it's important, but it is important. He was asked at his post conference, and to the point where he shared his thoughts, and I won't. Coach Trey, Coach Worth, Coach Dale, to talk about this because it is something to talk about. I have my ideal and my thoughts about it, but it's been talked about. So can we have some discussion on that? Well, I'm not talking about who's right or wrong, but I do want us to talk about it because, like I said, I have my opinion about it. So we can start off. I'm going to go up to Trey. Trey, talk, what you think about that? You heard that or heard about that, and tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm gonna say this. We can't control what comes out of Charles Barkley's mouth. We didn't heard the worst to come out, and like when he asked Shaq, you know what I'm saying, who would win between him and Draymond? Shaq said Draymond, and it was a big joke on the show. So you know he apologized. You know that's the life of a commentator. He apologized for his actions and the words he said. Draymond carries that reputation. You know he's that guy. He's that Dennis Rodman of the NBA right now. You got to live with it. I mean, that's what Charles Barkley thought. He says what he thinks. That's all I got.
Okay.
Well, I'm the bleeding heart person on the phone here, and I will be the first to tell you that anytime you on that scene, I think about the children that's watching, and when they hear that, it's almost like signing off on it's okay to be violent toward people, and it's just not that. And I just I went back. We had this conversation about the NBA a long time ago about Charles Barkley, and I just said to myself, and I said to you guys on the talk show, that even though he says he's not anybody's role model, but he actually is. You know, he doesn't have to claim it. When you are out there and talking to millions of people, then you have a following there. And while you have that following, you need to pay attention to what you say. So that's my two cents about that. It just was not classy.
Taylor Rose. Coach Work. Before you go, we got a caller. Coach Work. We got a caller. And we want this caller to share their thoughts in regards to that. Okay? Caller with the last four digits, 8519. We want you to identify yourself and your location because you're on live with us right now.
My name is Paul Whitehurst from Enterprise, Alabama. And I have been sitting here listening to you guys. It's been great as far as the replay in high school football. But as far as Charles Barkley tonight, I don't know if y'all got a chance to see it, but he went online on that tonight before the game started tonight and did his great apology to Trayvon and his mother, and that was wrong because that you could see it wasn't sincere. And I feel the same way Daryl feels because you can go on and say anything you want to, but you never know who's watching. And those kids are what we do everything for. And I enjoy you guys.
Oh, thank you, Paul. We enjoy having you on here. We still want you to continue to listen. We're going to continue with our discussion. And we do appreciate your commentary and then your thoughts about that matter. Thank you very much, Paul.
All right.
The world.
All right, Coach Worth. Coach Worth, we're back with you now.
okay, the world of sports, gentlemen, we have to be mindful, is entertaining. And entertainment is what brings viewers to the table. The more viewers you have, work with me, Daryl, you business guy, the more
money
revenue
you make.
There you go, the more revenue.
But Tony, do we have to have violence in order to make money? What is that saying about us as a people?
Negativity.
I respectfully would like to get to that point because that's where I'm headed. Even though it's entertainment, we have to be mindful of the percentage of viewers that are youth and are put in positions with high school coaches especially to play the game the right way. Jalen Rose said it this morning, and I listened to it very diligently. He said, well, Charles is wrong. Breland told Jerry, said, well, Charles is different. He said, how? He said, because what he does in this line of entertainment as a prognostic is different from us as analyzing. And it's because he's Charles. I think what they have allowed the entertainment part of TNT to do is to put the sole purpose of them being on stage in two different categories. Do we stay up to hear Charles and his guys say what they want to? I mean, they can use profanity how they want to and still look at this as a clean-cut game. I got a problem with that. I really do have a problem with that. But I also have a sense of understanding of entertainment. But I think broadcasters will come to a sense of urgency now and look at, okay, even though we're profiting here now, we don't want to lose our goal and lose our vision of what this game is all about or what these entertainments at the highest level are supposed to be. And Daryl used it very, very, very good when he said the word model. Whether you want to be or not, you are one because the stage you're on. And I think that was a lesson to be learned. And I'll be very honest with you. It's going to be some concerns with that. I mean, man, let's be mindful now. Charles and his crew with Ernie and with Shaq, and they all make a lot of money just in that category, and it's all one big group. But they gotta come together and be mindful that they are still all on the same team. And until that happens, you're going to have dissension and you're going to have misdirection, and the entertainment part becomes less entertaining and becomes derogatory, and then you have personal feelings getting involved. And, yeah, Charles is never sincere with an apology because what comes up, I know this guy, it comes out.
and kind of add to that, you know, I had put my two cents in, but I did it a little early on Facebook. I sort of, like, understand entertainment. You know, we're in entertainment at this point. We say some things as well. But sometimes we have to consider what we're saying, because if it's just a general statement like when I played, I would have probably punched him in my face. I'm not saying I know what he said. That sometimes it's the way you say things, because it was not so much taken person by Draymond Green, because Draymond Green didn't hear. But when the reporters got it, you see what I'm saying?
They blew out before.
And took it back to him, it became a challenge. So I said, you're wrong. He apologized, but Charles ought to be smarter than that, too. I don't care what kind of person he tried to get attention, but you can't make it directly at a person. Then to the point, we forget about the element, and our caller said it. The mama got involved with it. Now you got other people involved with it. Yeah, you entertaining, but you ain't got to be so specific about that individual. That's my point. He should know better. Regardless of what comes up and come out, he got a real down repercussions come when you do stuff. Because from what I see, Draymond, well, everybody said, well, he come up, he see me, punch me, and I'm going to show him something. So I'm saying, you don't know what it feels. So you're in front of millions of people when you make a statement like that. That's all I'm saying. Charles, make sure what you're saying.
And Charles, and Dr. Smith, in Charles' defense, He was speaking more literally as if I had been on that floor and he come in my face, I would punch him. And that's probably what happened.
If you look at it from that perspective,
then it's not really blown out of proportion. But like you said, and I agree, the bandwagon crew jumped on it, the media.
Oh, this is something good.
Let's add something to this. Yeah. And that's
so,
the way it went.
So that's one of the things. That's one of the things I said. He has to be some kind. Don't make it so personal. It don't have to be. Well, you may have done it. He may have knocked you out, too, back in 30 years ago. We never know what would have happened because that was one of the discussions. But we're not going to get into that discussion because we're going to move our agenda. But, again, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Identify you with the last four digits of your cell number or telephone number, and then I ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right, let's move to something else that I think is important. It's in regards to children before the ages of 12 years old playing football, tackle football, due to the results of the CTE study. You know, the CTE is talking about the brain and the moving of the brain and the major contact. What are we, you know, what's our thoughts about children playing football, tackle football, before 12 years old? Is this leading to supporting that study? And I know we may not have all the information about the study, but we already heard some things. There's a movie that made Will Smith played it, and it was a movie about concussions and everything. So I just want our thought on that.
You know, I would say this, if you don't mind, Daryl E. They have plenty enough time to have physical football in the high school years and in the college years. You have to buy into the studies that are out there because the motion of the brain and in a tackle situation, how that brain moves can cause catastrophic damage. Well, that's been proven. And, you know, the helmet companies are trying to make, you know, a better helmet to soften the blow. And the rules are coming up to try to soften the blow. But the reality is a little child – at the age of 12, who may love the sport, at some point we have to say, okay, we have to have starting sense, and then we now have to have stopping sense. So the starting sense should be when they go into the high school. That's when it is allow that to play in. I don't even think they should be playing in junior high school myself, but, I mean, I know y'all going to fuss at me about that. But I appreciate the help, and I know it's coming, T.D. But the reality is my two cents is that, you know, I think we prepare them for that sport and that physicalness after 12, maybe 13 or maybe possibly 14. That's my two cents.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the problem.
Okay.
The problem with this. And they're always bring out very good points because his points lead me to add something to it, and it really helps me. I like to listen to him before I talk. But here's what I'm saying. 12 years old in an organized sport is damaging. 12 year olds in an organized sport is catastrophic. 12 year olds in an unorganized sport is also a situation where a time bomb would explode. Why do I say that? You got coaches that are not trained. You got coaches can't differentiate a headache from a concussion. You got parents that allow their kids to go out and be involved in these programs, and they're not under the right type of training or coverage, et cetera. Now, let's reverse the whole thing. Now, here's what I'm going to go and help Darryl with. The same 12-year-olds, if they're in their middle school programs and junior high programs, we have put everything in place. We went back with the Medical Advisory Committee, and did an extensive study on concussions, and not only that is, we mandated that every coach, whether he's a volunteer coach with the high school, middle school, or hired by the board or appointed by the board, must go through that particular training for the safety of those student-athletes. That means no good if you got a coach out there that has not had any training. That's another bag up waiting to happen. So I think going forward, I can say that them getting a taste of it under an organized program and under trained profession will give them an opportunity to be better there at the high school, whereas they cannot get that in these rec leagues and these open fields and on and let's just have a team type play. you headed for total destruction, because what's going to happen is a student is going to get a concussion out there, never knew he had it, and it's going to grow from year to year. And that's why some of the athletes that are at the highest level now in professional league sometimes suffer very detrimental behind it, because they may have had it all the time and never been properly treated or diagnosed, lived with it, and went on. So the changes that are being made in the studies have proven that if everybody come on board and get under the program for these student athletes, then it can be beneficial. Because I'm going to tell you something, and Coach Smith, you can, and Jermaine, you can attest to this too. The earlier they start playing, the better they're going to be.
Mm. Yes, it
but
is.
You got to protect them. You got to protect them, or they ain't playing.
It's like I said. If you don't mind me coming back to that, it's like I said at the end of my comment is that you have to prepare them, and preparation goes across all lines. They have to be prepared through education, through these coaches being educated, and all of it. So that's what I'm saying. In my mind, 12 years old, tackle football is too young. But if you start preparing them for what is to come, that means education and all preparation. Then I think it all works out, Coach. You just said it like Fred Sanford would have said it to the policeman on the Fred Sanford show. The black police officer would look at the white police officer. Everybody look at the black police officer, and they'll explain what did the white police officer just say.
Exactly.
I look at a situation with me. I've been playing football since I was 5 or 6 years old. And the thought process of teaching me how to play was totally different than it is now. Back then, all the way up till I was in high school, we were taught to put our helmet in your chin. I mean, that's what we were taught to do. As far as the concussions that's going on now with the NFL, I say my generation, because we were taught that way. Now, you always one hit away now. It don't matter when you start playing now. You're one hit away from a drastic brain injury. So it don't matter when you start, you still one hit away. So that's the chance you take in playing the game. I don't think there's anything else that anyone can do about that. Like Coach Stallworth said, they're making helmets and stuff. And we do go through a lot of classes for that case. Now, this is the key right here, Gary. With football right now, we don't do as much contact as we did back in the day. I'm gonna tell you, practice right now for us, I'm gonna say for my middle school, is a breeze. We're polishing, you know, we're going over form tackle. We show you how to tackle. And most of these kids, Gary, they're timid of their head now. So anytime they get hit in it, they hurt. It don't matter if they just get their bell wrong, because I know I had concussions, because I remember coming to practice plenty of days with migraine and you know, headache. But any little like Coach Stallworth said, they're changing the game as far as the kids, because when you instill all that about your head, anytime they get hit, Darry, I'm concussed, Coach. You see what I'm saying? Anytime they get hit, it's serious. So we have to take it seriously. So I think that they're doing all they can do with those head injuries, concussion type symptoms. So as far as that issue, I think they are changing the game, because these kids are changing, Darry. They're not like us. They're nowhere near like us now.
When I was 12 years old.
Go ahead, Darry.
When I was 12 years old, we played sandlot football. And with no helmets, no pads, and it was raw dog cab up football right out there in the field. Same thing Coach said earlier, and some of the, if you go back to some of the 1970s footage of NFL players getting their bell rung, they really got it wrong, and you know, it was no holds barred football. It was animalistic, and I understand what King T saying, and I understand what Touchdown is saying. But I still say, and I agree with you totally when you say you one hit away from that concussion. However, I still say we have to have some starting sense, and we have to have some stopping sense. And with that, that's a middle ground for us to learn how to get this done. And again, this conversation really could go on and on and on, because the reality is that information is power, and both you coaches have that information, and I appreciate what you both have to say.
Coach Tremaine,
thank you so very much for alluding to the fact that, let's talk about the contact rule. You know, the Alabama High School Association came back 4 years ago and limited contact.
Yes, sir.
They have recommended reconditioning of helmets.
Yes, sir.
The biggest thing that we need to be mindful of, and Darryl said it with a mouthful as well again, education. And you said it too, Coach Tremaine. Teach these kids how to tackle. Teach them how to take on a blow. I mean, education, it's just like driving a car. You drive too fast in the wrong zone, you pass and you ain't supposed to be passing, and there's something down the road going to get you. So it's just much danger than any other thing it is in football if there's no education in it. And because it is a highly contact sport. And the more, even at 12 years old, the training and the preparation is done, the better those kids are going to be able to sustain what they're going to get at the high school, at the major college level, and eventually those that have an opportunity to get to the next level, which is professional. So let's help support educating football to make it a better sport. If not, it can be a very, very catastrophic means of having fun, because it is extremely contact.
And Coach Worth, you're hitting on the head, and we're going to just say we need to educate not only the high school, middle school coaches, but peewee, tiny Mike, old coaches, five-year-old coaches, because that was some legislation was coming out that they had to go through a mandatory concussion training, heat acclimation, and first aid classes, even if you did peewee, tiny Mike. And that's when you start. If you're starting at four, you got to train these coaches at four. If they're not, get them out the game, move them out of the way, and let some coaches get there and be trained. All right, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and then ask you to come on. All right, we're going to move to the NFL draft, and that's what the four places are going to
So, last it is. Let's take this opportunity to talk a little bit about the draft. One of the things that we want to talk about in the draft is about one of the players that was drafted had a statement that brought attention to everybody, and that was when Josh Allen, the quarterback of was drafted by the Buffalo Bills, used a statement when he was 15, 16 years old, and he put it on Twitter, and it went out the day of the draft, and may have heard him from being one or two, where he used the N-word and the phrase white power. I want to get some thought on that from my co-host.
Well, at least you know where you stand. That's something I can tell you.
Okay. All right. I'm saying hello. Okay, go ahead on. Darryl said, we know where he's
staying.
Okay, we got you there. Okay?
It's easy to be apologetic for making a mistake, but what's the excuse for being ignorant? You know, 16 years old is a bridge toward manhood, and you just about seen everything it is. If you're thinking that way at 16, you're still thinking that way at 23. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Ain't much different. But I like the positive side of everything.
Okay.
The world of sport can always be a common denominator between how a person thinks and how people can get along regardless of their color. It changes. I mean, it's vitally important. Let's go back to Kaepernick. Even with Kaepernick sacrificing his opportunity to be a part of the professional world, he has really brought about some changes in the thought process of how coaches deal with the Afro-American athlete. As Darryl and I got into a real, real high, not confrontation, but not argumentative, but discussion about the word slavery. You remember, Darryl? And
yes.
And this thing right here is nothing more than an opportunity for us to see that, you know, it still exists.
Because can I say something to you? I apologize for interrupting, but let me say this to you, man. By this guy using this type of language and coming in to this sport, it's going to be more controversial because some people are not going to let it go. They're not going to let it go, and it's going to be a problem for him. You know, he's going to have to face this head on, and it's going to keep coming back up until he faces it head on. I just don't see it not coming back up. And so, and I just think I want you to comment on that, Coach, because I think he's going to have to see this again.
I think. Okay, see where I'm going with this. It's going to come back up, but is he the only one thinking that way? Does Tom Brady feel that way? Did Peyton Manning feel that way? What this is going to do is it's going to bring some light until everybody understanding that. It's not a black world or white world here. This is sport. And you got to come into sports with that type of mentality or you'll be unsuccessful. I do agree, Darryl. It's going to cost you. But it's going to also let everybody else know you see what you're coming here. Because at this level right here, it can cost you a lot more. So I'm going to tell you something. If you came in there with nothing, had an opportunity to be rich, and you're going to leave out of there because of something you said, it's going to change the mindset of a whole lot more people. That's why I say the world is sports.
I can just see this, Coach. I can see a defender slipping to the side to let somebody go in there and cave his chest in. I can just see it, man. You know, I can just see. Some people don't let it go. Some people know they know where your heart is, and they're gonna let you get punished for that some kind of way. That's what I have to say.
And he set himself up for challenging a lot of different ways. I don't even think that he is. Too much focus on now of how what his role will be in football as trying to find out what his identity is going to be. And you're right, because even with that, Darryl, and thinking about that which can happen, that's going to take a lot away from his talent. He's extremely talented. So it's one of those type things that sometimes a little bit of this, a little bit of that can cost you a whole lot more. Be mindful of what you say and where you say it.
Let me sneak in right here, Coach Worth. I'm gonna be short, Dr. Smith. I'm just thinking like, how hasn't it caught up with them before now? That's what
right.
I'm looking at. The way social media works now, I don't understand why he had to get in the NFL draft and then this come up. I don't understand it. And you know, I look back and I say, how did the guy with this much talent end up in Wyoming? You know, I think it came up somewhere else. I'm gonna say that with it.
But Coach Tremaine, you know, I said it like I said before. You know, everybody in the world of sports, broadcasters, reporters, they're looking for a story, and they wanted something bigger than a draft. Why not use the draft as a means of utilizing this guy's hidden agenda. So, you know, it has its reason for coming out at that particular time because it would get more attention, and it has. And it has. Well,
and
I've gotten them.
And Coach Starr, you kind of, in both, all of y'all are hitting it on the head. It was something probably was not addressed. And my only problem with the whole picture, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but he did it instead of just talking with somebody. He put it on a Twitter account.
Yep.
Something that ever go away. So besides him saying that, yes, people feel that way. If you feel that way, don't put it on a Twitter account when you're 15, 16, 17. Don't think it's going to come back up when you get to a point. He wanted the top quarterbacks out of the four quarterbacks. Was expected to be drafted number one. Now, why the person put it out there? Bleacher Report is always in existence. I'm not saying they did it, but somebody put it out there to get that fame they need to get fame. But he has to be smart enough. Every 15, 16-year-old boy, I don't put no Facebook and putting Facebook or Twitter account. He's not putting anything on there. Know that will come back and bounce. But they are doing things like with guns and money and all that stuff. It always come up. Now, let me ask you this, team, and we're going to spend about 2 or 3 minutes on it. We still got enough time. I extended the time tonight. But what if it was a African-American young man that came on there and said that, called the Caucasian person a cracker, and black power, we're going to kill, or we just going to say black power just like he did. What do you think it would have been saying? We become Lamar Jackson would have been a number choice. Tell me what it would have been saying then.
I can only assume that he would have not made the draft. That's a different set of rules for our skin color as opposed to the other, and that's the world we live in. It's not me egging on racism. It is just the racism that we live in. That's what I have to say.
Exactly.
Well, Darryl, okay. I agree, because here's what would have happened. It would have been defined coming from Afrocentric society as being a means of a threat and something dangerous. In the Caucasian society, it's a means of a mistake, and he would get better.
Exactly.
So it is a set of rules, and we live under those rules, have always lived under those rules, and I hope we will be mindful that they are still out there. He helped everybody by letting them know that some things still exist. That's bottom line.
I agree totally with the two comments. If it was a black guy, it would have been blown up even more with this. Like, it could have been something simple as him sitting there, like you said, with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or just standing around somebody. You know what I'm saying? That gets blown out of proportion. So I think if that would have been said, like Coach Darryl Lee just said, he would have been blackballed from the NFL and would have been a has-been. End discussion.
Man. And let me jump in right here. I'm going to add a little wrinkle to this. Just think about it. I'm just use this draft. You had five quarterbacks, right? And two of the quarterbacks won the Heisman, right? Quarterback in 2017 was the best quarterback, had most passing yards, most running yards, had it all. Okay? The next year, Baker Mayfield did it. He had it. But they don't want no two time. What was the reason why you think Lamar Jackson dropped so far down when he was the best? He had more yards in 2017 than he had in 16. But my question is, what is the reason? And this is what I want to throw at y'all. It's a little hint since the racism that if you ain't standing up a drop back quarterback and don't stay there long enough to run, you can't be a good professional quarterback.
Survival rate of the Lamar Jackson type quarterback extends far beyond in a lot of the draftees' eyes than a average Caucasian quarterback that's pocket. And they try to use the misinterpretation of not being able to read defenses, not patient, etc., or can play another position, because what that do is that leaves opportunity for those that don't have the ability to do anything other than drop back.
Exactly.
And we have to be mindful that when those type of things are thrown at us, revert that and use it as a metaphor of strength, because Lamar is going to outlast a lot of dropbackers now, I'm telling you, because the game has changed so much now.
There you go.
And we saw that with the quarterback that came in from, help me out, Dr. Smith. I got hurt last year. I'm losing the thought process now.
Deshaun Watson.
Watson was the most threat quarterback to any defense and any defensive coordinator, and they saw then the whole hole up. But they know that Lamar's going to be successful. But to put that on his head, it allows those that cannot or do not have that type of ability to get up in line and try to still hide behind the fact that the drop back quarterback is the only way. Oh, hell no, that ain't the only way. You put an athlete back there in that backfield. You done added, help me out, Coach Tremaine, you done added another what? Another back.
Another whip.
And you've always,
another whip.
Now you're
put, dual threat.
Exactly. Now you're going to put pressure on where your linebacker's going to be. Somebody got to either take off a read or stay at home, et cetera. I know a little bit about this game and know that a dual threat also causes a lot more pressure on preparation. So, kudos, Lamar. If it's 25th pick, you're going to be all right. Because one thing they can't take from you is what you're blessed with.
Okay. That's it. You're blessed. All right, Trey, you're going to answer that right there, sir.
I'm going to say this about Lamar. The reason why his stock went down in the Heisman Trophy was the success rate of his team. When you're losing, it really doesn't matter about your numbers. They're still going to choose a guy that is either close to the playoffs or right on the brinks of making it. But this year, Louisville just – they couldn't cut the cheese, man. He didn't have enough. He didn't have enough. And like I said, it wouldn't have mattered if he left last year or this year. I think he would have still left late, like you're saying right now, late in the draft. But I think the Heisman Trophy deals with the success of your team. It doesn't matter about your stats, to me, totally.
And add to that, Coach Tremaine, the scandals that were going on in Louisville program didn't help him as well. You know, they began
exactly.
Look at that program and goes all the way back to Paterno and looking at basketball and everything that was going on. None of that helped when it came to even having them on TV like he was the year before. So he just got kind of caught in a trap. But let me tell you something. He's going to be all right. I guarantee you that. He's going to be all right.
And the thing about it, I just always have a problem when I hear teams say that all he could be is a wide receiver. It ain't easy to be a quarterback, and it ain't easy to be a wide receiver. It ain't easy to be a running back if you're a quarterback. It ain't easy. It's a different kind of game, and it's one of the things. And I think that was one of the things. And I'm just going to add this, and we're going to move to something else. The only reason Lamar Jackson came in to possibly being a quarterback is because one of the coaches that has the respect of everybody looked at him as a quarterback and talked about possibly drafting him. I consider drafting him. And everybody said, oh, he can do something to the league. I think he's a plus for the Ravens. I think the Ravens with Falcon, whatever his name, he's done. So he got a future right there. Then another thing some people say hurt him because his mama was his agent. So we'll leave it right there. And we're just going to touch on one more thing. We're going to get off this, and we're going to talk a little bit about and take a minute to talk about historical black college players that we know may have been drafted or signed as free agent, if you know anybody in your area. Coach Trey, you said some thoughts about if you heard of anybody being drafted either being historical black college players or either signed as free agents.
I know a big pick in the draft was the linebacker from South Carolina State, man.
Exactly.
He went pretty high. He went real high. And, you know, I look back at, you know, games where I set up and watch because they come on TV a lot. South Carolina State came on TV a lot last year. And he was really making plays. I mean, that was one big pick that I've never seen, like, in an HBCU. Like, for a linebacker to go that high, he went real high in the draft. I think it was top 20, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that was real big right there. That's a big highlight that I saw in the draft.
I think we can share the fact that currently now there are 32 players on the NBA roster from HBCU University. And South Carolina State linebacker Darius Leonard is one of the most prolific and going to be one of the most successful players in the league. Also, outside linebacker Brandon Parker, North Carolina A&T, defensive back Danny Johnson from Southern University, Lorenzo, and running back Cortez Carter from Grambling. All of those guys there. I have some more data for you. Offensive tackle Terrence Armstead, signed with the Saints. You got a nose tackle from Arkansas Pine Bluff, Javan Hargrove. He's with the Steelers. Marquette King was with Denver from Fort Valley. And that brilliant running back, Cohen. I think me and you talked about him, Coach, was low. He went fourth round with the Bears,
yeah,
from North Carolina. So, you know, that says not, because the less of the numbers, the more success value these kids are going to have anyway, because they're going to keep them. They're bound with for us because they come from great historical black colleges. And I think that that'll give us something to follow. And
yes,
I hope,
sir,
that what we've said here will give our listeners a sense of urgency. They'll know how important that our black college black players are and how successful they're going to be, because those opportunities that we're given, we're going to take advantage of them. We're not going in trying to destroy anything. We're going to take advantage of them and have a pathway for those that are still among our HBCUs. Let them know that, hey, you put some effort out there, buddy, they'll give you a chance.
And I have to echo that real quickly. I'm going to make my comment real quick. I was very pleased to hear that. I was very pleased to hear that these people have made it. And because the myth is out there that, you know, if you go to HBCU, you're more than likely never to make the NFL. Well, that's not the case anymore. Like you said, Coach, if you play hard and you play well, somebody will give you a chance. That's what I have to say.
That's awesome, awesome. All right. Hey, we're at the point where we're going to wrap the show up at this point, and I want to really appreciate everybody taking time to listen to us and the caller who called in and other callers who's on the line that was listening, not so much wanted to talk. And we do appreciate you, and also the individuals that's on the web link. We appreciate each and every one. We have a very spirited Wednesday night. We talked about subjects. We talked about the NFL. We talked about historical black colleges. We talked about high school. And we touched the bases. That's why we are different. We focus on historical black colleges, universities, high schools, middle school, athletics, and southeastern part of the United States. All right, it's time for us to call it quits, team. So, you know, do it how you want to do it. You want to sum this show up in your manner and say goodbye to everybody, then we'll close everything out.
Well, University of Alabama fans, y'all had 13 to go. Auburn, you had 3. Had to throw that in there. Anyway, glad to be back tonight. I'm with my colleagues. Hope that I brought something to enlighten and inspire the show. I'm back to stay. And there, don't think that I'm not where I need to be when I'm not on this show. I took that comment very personally when I was down your house earlier. But anyway, I love you, my brother. Again, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day
don't
take you.
Day. You. All right, all right. All right. Coach Trey.
Hey, here, I'm here. I thought Darryl was going to jump in right there after that comment.
Okay.
But great show tonight. Great show tonight, fellas. Thanks to the crowd being very attentive. I see y'all being very attentive, sending texts. Let's just keep it rolling. Let's keep this show rolling, guys. We're going to do NBA picks, I guess, next week, man. But I'm going to get a Raptors in 6, y'all. Even though they lost, I'm going to stay with that big one. Raptors in 6.
All right. All right.
Y'all have a good night.
Sound like
you know,
awesome. Okay, Dale.
You know, I'm going to say this. The education system, it gave Tony Stallworth the opportunity to be the man he is. But Daryl E. gave him the name that made him what he is. So,
yes,
all right.
So, good night, everybody. God bless you all. And touchdown, one thing I want you to go home and sleep with tonight. God loves you, and so do I, my friend.
Kudos,
y'all be good.
and one other thing I want to say as we close the show out. One of our co-hosts, Coach Tremaine Edwards, he last night graduated from a leadership class up there in Huntsville. So we wanted to give him a hand clap to say, good job, well done. He's a leadership class of 2018, so he graduated. Coach Trey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.
And tomorrow,
awesome.
And tomorrow, Dr. Smith, is my birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday,
Coach. Happy birthday, Coach. Happy birthday, man. That's all right. That's all right. That's May 3rd. May 3rd. That man, May 3rd. And our co-host is May 8th. So Coach Lauren D. Smith. Her birthday is May 8th. So we got some birthday people in May. So we're going to make sure we do it right. But, again, we enjoyed you tonight. Wonderful Wednesday, hump day. Thank you for joining us. And as our co-host just shared with you his thoughts in regards about taking that day, I'm going to say keep on grinding, make the day right, make the night exciting, enjoy yourself, and we will have an opportunity to talk back with you on next week at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here in the same place. And we're going to leave you with a song that we do not have the rights to, but we want to play it anyway. And it's one my co-host loves so. Game changer. Come forward.
You ain't never got to ask, never got to question my love. I ain't never going to let nothing come between us.
All right.
It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down,
it's your birthday song, my brother. Your birthday song. The gang said it's both worth.
Girl, you changed the game for me, yeah.
Thanks.
I was on the prowl trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl, you changed it all.
That thing to bring
and stopped all my pain. I guess what I'm saying, girl.